I described what a person of knowledge does. A person of knowledge is called Gyanavan, one who possesses Gyana. And what does such a person do? Mam Prapadyate. Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. He surrenders to me. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. He thinks, or says, Vasudeva Sarvam. Vasudeva Krishna is everything. And it's described as a Mahatma. Such a Sama Mahatma, such a great soul, is very rare. You might recall, this is a very tight chapter. You might recall text 3. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. That's text 3. So again, the same idea is repeated. Such a person who actually surrenders to Krishna, sudurlabha, difficult to find, very rare. So that describes a person who is jnanavan, who has jnana. Now, if you look at text 20, we're looking at a different group of people. They're called Vrittagyana. Vrittagyana. Deprived of knowledge. Jnanavan, possessing knowledge. Vrittagyana, deprived of knowledge. Deprived of knowledge by the agency of kamais, material desires. Because of material desires, they are deprived of knowledge. And while the one who has knowledge, he says, mam prapadyate, notice the word prapadyate, he surrenders unto me, these people, prapadyante, anyadevata. They have the same word, prapad, surrender, to bow down before. So they surrender to, not to mam, but anyadevata. Other gods. So that's the transition to the section here. You can remember all these things and you can keep it all in your mind. One thing goes to another. So then, as we recall, the demigod worship was explained. How the transaction takes place by Krishna's grace, actually. He's in the background making the faith of the worshipper steady and also compelling the demigod to grant the benediction. Then in text 23, these people, the demigod worshippers, they are described as alpamedasam. Another word meaning small-minded, small intelligence. I think I can sumedasa. Know that people who describe as sumedasa, those who have. You know that verse?
Sankirtana.
Yeah. Yeah. Krishna mana tusha Krishna parashidam. Sankirtanam. Yajati hi sumedasa. Those who are good intelligence, sumedasa, they worship me by sankirtan. So this is alpamedasam, those who worship the demigods. Why? Antavattu phalam tesham. Their fruits have an end. They are limited and temporary. And then he makes this important point. Those who worship the devas go to the devas, my devotee. To me. Then, text 24, another pejorative. So all this strong language, Prabhupada, I don't know if it's sometimes accused for using strong language, this is where it comes from. Abhudayaha, another word for having no intelligence, abhudayaha, and in this case, the Maya bodies are indicated. Avyakta vyakta mapanam manyate mam. They think about me that first I was avyakta, unmanifest or impersonal, and then I became manifest or personal. Okay. Any questions on that section so far? Has come up? Okay, so now we'll go on to text 25. The discussion continues. Jason will chant text 25. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So in this word, this verse, the pejorative is mudra. Run across this one before. So this time I am never manifest to the buddha, the fools, foolish and unintelligent. Look at text 25 and flip back. To text 13. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So the same word is there. Mohitam nabijanati. Deluded, nabijanati, that does not know me. And the line ends with the same word, avyayam. Inexhaustible. Above the modes and inexhaustible. Of Yaya. So here the same thing. Buddhaya. Most of the world is foolish. So this text 13, text 25 go together, making the same point. Now we've learned in detail a little more about the people who don't understand Krishna. There are those who worship other gods, those who are impersonalists. So all these groups are just different categories of not knowing people who don't know.
What do you mean by he's inexhaustible?
Inexhaustible means that, you know, if you have a jug of orange juice, you pour out the orange juice and it's all gone. So Krishna, you can just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. It's never gone, never diminished. It's inexhaustible. All these worlds are emanating from him. Just like the sun has been shining for millions of years, no one doesn't seem to get any dimmer. It's so powerful. So Krishna is inexhaustible. Unborn and inexhaustible. Never comes to an end. So he's covered by this potency here that's called Yogamaya. Yogamaya. This word, Yogamaya, is used in different ways in different contexts. Here's the internal potency. So sometimes it conceals. The internal potency sometimes conceals and sometimes reveals Krishna. But as a fact, it's said here, when he was on the planet, only a handful of people could understand who he was. The Pandavas knew. Most of the Yadus knew him as a super soul. They didn't actually appreciate his position as highly the super soul. They knew him as a super soul. The gopis knew, cowherd people knew, otherwise people didn't understand. And there's a statement of Kamsa who said, so he's lifted a pebble called Govardhan Hill. So he's killed a snake called Kali, stepped on the snake called Kali. Why do I have to worry about him? So he's not revealed to everybody. In It's actually only by his mercy that he becomes revealed. Prabhupada has used the example that if you you don't know what the President of the United States looks like, you may have gone by and someone said, "You see the President?" You say, "No, I didn't see him." You did, but you didn't recognize him. So many people, they saw Krishna, but they couldn't recognize him. They couldn't appreciate who he was. So if they're covered by the yogamaya potency, they may think, "Oh, he's an ordinary person." And in the same way, Indra didn't always appreciate him. Even Brahma forgot. Who's this coward boy? Let me try out and see if he's really so potent. So people don't appreciate. Not everybody can appreciate Krishna. He says, deluded by the modes of material nature, covered by the yoga maya, so even when he's present, that yoga maya potency keeps them covered. He reveals. The yoga maya potency also works in a transcendental way. Sometimes the word yoga maya is used to refer to the internal potency, which makes his Vrindavan pastimes, for example, possible. Because in a way, this is a different thing, and I'm not talking about these people, but his pure devotees also, he covers his extremely powerful position. Well, for example, Mother Yashoda, she wants to worship him as a little helpless baby, so he has to kind of cover her perception of his greatness. Said that when Mother Yashoda heard that Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with a small finger on his left hand, she couldn't believe it, and she thought that Nanda Maharaj must have been doing it. This was her sentiment, her feeling for Krishna, was that he couldn't do that. He was such a little child. So they were always thinking that Krishna had to be protected. So many demons coming to kill him and everything. They always were thinking of protecting him. So that's yoga maya. This is different from the way a foolish person who doesn't have that's different from a materialist who can't accept Krishna as God, because they don't love Krishna. Here, the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna so much that the fact that he's God, that doesn't interest them very much. But that's not out of envy. That's not out of envy. So that is also a yoga maya potency. That's also called yoga maya. That allows the devotees to enter into intimate relationships. You actually saw Krishna fully, everything. You couldn't stand it. Your mind you'd go crazy. Your mind couldn't contain it. Just like Brahma, at one point Krishna revealed some of himself to Brahma, and he just became bewildered. He says, "I understand that you are everything, and there's nothing but you, and yet you are there, and I'm here." And he just couldn't grasp it. Because it can't be, Krishna can't be understood like that. Here, in another sense of yogamaya, here is that Prabhupada talks about is the Brahmajyoti effulgence is also called yogamaya. That he hides Krishna from the impersonalists. They see Brahman, they see that divine effulgence, and it covers the face of God. They can't see past that effulgence. And that's why it says, Hiranmaya Patreya made of gold. The gold in effulgence covers your face. Oh my Lord, your face is covered by a dazzling golden effulgence. And I'm laying above today now, so Jasha, you come. Please remove that effulgence so I may see your blissful form. So the devotee prays. Other people are striving so hard to see this Brahma Jyoti. And the devotee asks that it be removed so that he may see Krishna. So in this way, Krishna does not reveal himself either to the materialists or to the non-devotee spiritualists. He says he remains covered. They can't see him. So that's why when Krishna was here, not everybody could appreciate. He didn't, because he kept them, as Yoga Maya puts, he kept himself hidden. So you'll see all these. Actually, if all those demons knew that he was who he was, they would never try. They would never try to go against him because they would know to lose. They would lose. So somehow or other they become bewildered at thinking they could actually kill Krishna. So any questions about this?
Yes. Can't think of the text, but anyway, in text 1 of this chapter, it suggests that eventually one can know Krishna in full.
Yes, Samagraha. Completely. Well, complete enough. Without any doubt. And but otherwise, I mean, because Krishna is always expanding. And we just have the text that his... what does it say? His energies are inexhaustible. You are always expanding your internal potency. He quotes here from Rama. So actually Krishna, even Krishna, doesn't know himself. See, the Bhagavad Gita sometimes speaks in a kind of rough way. And gives a general understanding. So the finer understanding is that you can know Krishna up to a point, which is as complete as anybody can get. But that ultimately Krishna himself doesn't know himself. He's always engaged in self-exploration. Because his potencies are expanding. And as he expands himself, his bliss, then he has to expand his knowledge. Then his bliss expands, and his knowledge expands. And he expands, and his knowledge expands. So he's always running to keep up with himself. So anyone who says he knows Krishna in full, immediately, that knowledge is obsolete. You have to keep up. So actually that's the higher understanding. But you can know a lot. If you know everything that's in Srimad Bhagavatam, then you know a lot.
Lord Brahma's states in the Mohan Leela that other people may think they know you, but as for me, I don't know. I think you are completely inconceivable.
That was his experience when he saw all the cowherd boys and the calves turn into Vishnumurtis. And he became completely bewildered and just not covered him with no eye, and he saw the cowherd boys. Then, of course, at that time he appreciated who Krishna was. He knew that this little boy standing there with a little lump of stuff in his hand. He was the final word on everything. Don't you understand?
Huh? Yeah. She's asking about in text one, Krishna says you can know everything. And in text two, he says that I'm going to declare this knowledge in full.
Yeah.
Beyond which there's nothing to be known. Mm-hmm. And that knowledge is that Krishna is the source of everything.
Yeah, that's right. It's very clear. It's not the details, but here's this is everything that there is. There's matter, and there's spirit, and there's the source of both of them. That's Krishna. Beyond that, there's nothing more to be known, because that exhausts the ontology. See? I mean, that's all that there is. Now we can get into details. That's why we have Srimad Bhagavatam. But basically, beyond that, there's matter, which is 27 elements, which are contained cleverly in earth, air, fire, water, human intelligence, and ego. And there's the living entities. And then there's Krishna. But then we say, Krishna, the controller of both. Oh, well, what does Krishna contain? Well, Krishna contains all his relationships. So there's Radharani, there's the gopis, and the cowboys. None of that's discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is just an introductory work. It's a prolegoma. It's just to whet your appetite. It's just to bring you actually to the point of surrender to Krishna. Then once you've surrendered to Krishna, then you can begin to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. That's when you really get into exploring the absolute truth. But here you just get the general outline of things. He only hints about his, he mentions several times, you know, about his abode. There's a couple of mentions. But you go there, you never return, there's no sun, moon, or fire. It's not illuminated by any external agency. He mentions a few things about it, but not much discussion.
So in this verse, it's in with Yoga Maya Samadhi. How is it that living entities are being illusioned by his internal focusing? What's the difference between being illusioned by internal potency and external potency? Why does he say that these...
That's an interesting question. The way Prabhupada takes it is to, especially since it comes to right after the verse about the impersonalness, is it refers to being illusioned by the Brahma Jyoti, which is an internal potency. It also, in a sense, all Maya is Yoga Maya. Because Daivi Hiesha Gunamayi, that's called Daivi, that's called spiritual, already in this chapter. This divine energy of mind consists of, it's also divine. So in the sense that all energies are related to him. Generally, see, we make a distinction between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Yoga Maya reveals Krishna and partially conceals him for the sake of pastimes, if I describe, whereas Mahamaya conceals him entirely. But here, the word Yoga Maya is used where we would expect to hear Mahamaya. So the best of my understanding is, Yoga Maya is used as Prabhupada in this purport, talks about that it refers to the Brahma Jyoti, and then when he was personally present too, what concealed him, was because he was there, he was also Yoga Maya. So they couldn't even appreciate him even then. But then the other thing is that in a way, it's all Yoga Maya. In the ultimate issue, there's nothing that, to a devotee, everything reveals Krishna. There's nothing that conceals him. And even when you see a person who's covered by Mahamaya, you see that Krishna's potency has covered him. You can see that ignorance in relationship to Krishna. From me comes, he says this, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgiveness. You forgive Krishna by Krishna's grace. Otherwise, you don't even have the power to be an atheist. Unless God makes you an atheist.
So,
I was going to research this a little bit, but I ran out of time.
I was wondering about what rasa. So, is the yoga maya related to someone having a
particular rasa? Yeah, there are rasas. Sure, the yoga maya makes these rasas possible because it conceals the majesty of Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Arena, the wrestling arena, all the people that saw him.
Yeah. According to their relationship, they saw him a certain way. And that's all facilitated by his yoga mind, in the sense of the energy that reveals Krishna, but also partially conceals. So that's how, Mother Yashoda does not want to think of Krishna as the all-powerful, almighty Vishnu. And when she saw him that way, she became very upset. And it's just described. And that's the incident where he ate the dirt. She looked in his mouth and she saw the whole universe in his mouth. And then she could understand that her son was the absolute truth. That he contained everything. She could even see herself. The planet she was on herself and everything. The whole universe was contained within this child of hers. And she became extremely distressed. And it says that then Krishna expanded her yoga maya. And she forgot the whole thing and thought of him as her little baby again. Great relief. So is that clear? Anyway, if I get the chance, I'll do so. A little research of this. I want to look up this part in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Kunti prays, same thing. See what Prabhupada said there, but I didn't have a chance. Any other questions on that text?
We can actually, this time, is there a...
Why don't you see if that's a Vesa, first, we need a first canto. The prayers of Queen Kunti are in one, first canto, part two, right? It might be up there, but it's first canto. Let me look at that. Kunti, Krishna's hand. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. It just says Maya. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So she calls him Mudha Drisha, same word, Mudha. Prabhupada, a lot of times one word in a verse will remind him of another verse of the same word. So it's Mudha Drisha. They can't understand. Avyayam, he's called Avyayam in here, also irreproachable is the translation here. So, Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The Asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord himself appears among us as Ram, Nisrim, Varaha in his original form, as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible, and he lists a few of them. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of the Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities as Vyas, Devala, Siddhanarda, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and all of the authorities of the line. He himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet there is a class of men with demonic mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge, and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. I mentioned these are the scientists. He mentions this. This is not mentioned specifically in here as Yoga Maya, just as Maya. So sometimes Yoga Maya and Maya are the same thing. But then also here it's used in the sense of the Brahma Jyoti, which also conceals it and is not material. Okay, any questions now? Let's go on to text number 26. Read the Sanskrit. There, Krishna is stating his categorically different position from everybody else. As Prabhupada points out in the purport, this fact of his Trikala Gyan, knowing past, present, and future, this is proof of his transcendental personality. To know something, to be aware of something, is to be a person. And to know what is the past, what is the present, what is the future, shows that as a person, he's avyayam, ajam, unborn in his asana, as you stated. So this just carries on, ajam, avyayam. And so then he just carries on to illustrate this, that his personality is not born and does not die. And Prabhupada recalls the beginning of the fourth chapter when the same issue came up. He said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to Vivashvan, the sun god, who in turn instructed it to Vishvaku, who instructed it to Manu. And then Arjuna asked a question. Does anyone remember Arjuna's question? What was his question? Do you remember?
How can you notice if they're senior working?
Yes. Vivasvan is senior to you, your ancestor. How could you have instructed him? And what did Krishna reply? That you must know.
He said, well,
I remember. Suchi, you remember?
I can't think of it.
It begins many, many. What is it? No. That's a little later on in the chapter.
I remember.
Many births, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember them, but you cannot. Now do you remember that? You can't. spoke. this is his answer. And in the purport, if you want to go back there and look at it sometime, you'll see that Prabhupada has a discussion of how this shows, this factor of remembering shows that Krishna does not change bodies. Forgetting your past life, as he says here, not knowing your future life, this is due to the change of body. So when there's no change of body, then remembrance is not. We're changing bodies now too, that's why we can't remember. Lost a lot of cells actually since then. So this is why we can't remember. So he recalls this. So Prabhupada then gives the example. Again, he says, people cannot know him, even if they understand, many thousands and thousands, some of them achieve perfection. They may understand Brahman, they may understand Paramatma, but still Krishna they don't know. So they're covered by Yoga Maya. They haven't come to this highest.